Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm going to continue on in this message, the series on afflictions in the life of a Christian. And we're looking presently at the book of Job, because there's no other book that deals with the subject of human suffering as much as well as this book. And in chapters 4 to 31, there's long discussions back and forth between Job and his friends concerning where he's at, his afflictions. And his friends simply say that that suffering he's going through is a result of personal sin. And of course, Job is not sinless. The Lord said he was a perfect and upright man, none like him in the earth. He said that to Satan in that first chapter. However, there's every human being will sin, even though behavior, there could be wrong attitudes, wrong thoughts. He couldn't be charged with moral failure by his fellow man. And so he's defending himself. That's what Job is doing. He asserts his innocence, and he's suffering so much. And he also had the belief that God always blesses the righteous and afflicts the wicked. And he realizes, I know I'm not wicked, so obviously maybe that's not what's happening. Maybe that's not what's going on. He doesn't understand why God is afflicting him. He concludes that God must know that he's a man of integrity. I'd like to read some verses from Job, the 13th chapter. Verse 15 says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." The very familiar verse. "But I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do two things unto me, then I will not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer. Let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? Will thou break a leaf driven to and fro?" He's, considering himself that fragile. "And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and looketh narrowly upon all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet." So here Job is claiming that he is righteous, guiltless of any such unconfessed sin in his present life that would warrant his current sufferings. Therefore, what can he make of this? He only can suppose that God is treating him capriciously and arbitrarily, and he's at a loss to understand why. Job 23, verses 14 through 16, he comes to a place of understanding to some measure, "For he, the Lord, performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. Therefore I would be dismayed at his presence. When I consider, I'm terrified of him. It is God who has made me faint." So he realizes, no, it's not sin. God has allowed this for whatever reason. He doesn't understand, but "it is God who hath made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me." Job acknowledges that his sufferings are in the will of God, though the very thought troubles him. And of course, he's a beautiful example for us. And then, as we go later on in the book, I'm going to turn to chapters 32 to 37. Elihu, he is a young man, and in comparison, he enters the discussion because Job's friends have failed him. He denounces Job's reaction to his plight. Let's look at some of the charges that Elihu makes. God is charged with capriciousness and hostility. That's the only thing that, you know, that Job can come up with. And in chapter 33, verses 8 through 10, let me read that. He's speaking now, Elihu, "Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Verse 10, behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy." And so Elihu is dissatisfied with Job's contention that God deals capriciously with men in this life. It's not just random. It's not that he's not paying attention. And although Job was correct in insisting that his suffering was not the result of external sin, yet he erred in thinking too highly of his own ability to rationalize the Creator's actions. Aren't we the same way? When we don't understand anything, we're trying to figure out in our own minds. But, you know, what does Scripture say? As high as heaven, as the heaven is from earth, so great is, you know, our thoughts aren't his thoughts, his ways aren't our ways, as heaven is from the earth. And in Job 33:13, Elijah rebukes Job for charging God with hostility toward him. He says, let me just read that. "Why dost thou strive against him, the Lord? For he giveth not account of any of his matters." He doesn't have to tell us anything, basically, if I can put it in colloquial terms. And we're saying, God, you're being mean to me. If you love me, why am I going through this? Does that sound like a familiar refrain? If you haven't ever said it, have you kind of felt that? And then he charges God with injustice, Job does. Let me read Job 34, 5 and 9. This is Elihu speaking, and he says, "For Job has said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right, my wound is incurable without transgression. For he has said, it profits a man nothing that he should take delight in God." Job's actually saying that God has wronged an innocent man, and that it's useless for a man to be a friend of God, because the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. And Elihu is arguing that God cannot be charged with injustice. So what have we seen? What is Elihu looking at? He's saying that basically that Job had charged God with a capriciousness, with hostility, and now that he was being unjust, and also with rebellion. We'll go into that, but, you know, I think I might have shared recently on the broadcast, I heard something regarding the medieval Saint Teresa of Avila, and she was traveling. It happened to be a very muddy and wet road, and she was traveling to a nearby town, and the horse stumbled anyway. The cart toppled over and her with it, and she got all wet and muddy. And she said to the Lord, "God, no wonder you don't have many friends if that's the way you treat the ones you do have." So that's a little bit of a humorous story, but sometimes we can certainly relate. Like if this is how you treat your friends, my goodness. Anyway, let us proceed. Let us go on, and we are looking at Elihu speaking, arguing that God obviously cannot be charged with injustice, because Job said, it profits a man nothing that he should take delight in God. And what he's actually saying is that God has wronged an innocent man, and that it's useless for a man to be a friend of God, because the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. And of course, God cannot be charged with injustice, and Elihu makes that point. But then, let me read Job 34, 36, and 37. This is Elihu's comment. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for wicked men. For he addeth rebellion unto his sin. He clappeth his hands among us and multiplieth his words against God. So Job adds rebellion to his sin. Would that, that's what Elihu said, would that Job's afflictions be continued until he really understands what he has been doing? For he adds rebellion to his unsubmissive attitude toward God, to his unacknowledged sin. He claps his hands in open mockery, and he multiplies his words of accusation against God. Job 36 and 21 says, this is the Amplified Translation, take heed, turn not to iniquity, for this, and what is he talking about? The iniquity of complaining against God. You, Job, have chosen rather than submission in affliction. So what is going on? Elihu, who is accusing Job of rebelling rather than submitting to his affliction in meekness. And verse 18 says, don't let the greatness of your afflictions keep you from accepting them. And sometimes we're in that place. We feel we've gone through so much, but there needs to be a humble, submissive attitude, that knowing that God is going to bring us out of them. And in this case, we saw it was God that was allowing Satan to do it. But this is an important attitude we need to have. God will rescue us from the deep waters, from the miry clay of that dark pit. I love you, and boy, the time has just flown this week. I thought we could complete it, but there's yet a few thoughts I'd like to share with you. We'll do that next week on the broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and as always, I encourage you to share your prayer requests. Only I read and answer the letters, and I'll send back what God gives to be a blessing to your heart. So many letters of testimony just saying it was just the word they needed to hear. I love you. Thank God for you. Thank you for your prayers. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.